You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Federal Premium Ammunition and their new centerfire rifle ammunition Terminal Ascent. Now, the Terminal Ascent has a slipstream polymer tip that helps flatten trajectories and initiates low-velocity expansion at longer ranges. The Terminal Ascent gives you match-grade, long-range accuracy in a bonded hunting bullet, and it comes in a variety of cartridges, including the 6.5 Creedmoor, the 280 Ackley Improved, the 28 Nosler, the 7mm Remington Mag 30-06, and the 300 Win Mag. If you want to find more information about the Terminal Ascent, visit federalpremium.com. And while you're there, check out It's Federal Season, the official podcast of Federal Ammunition.
Welcome to the Land and Legacy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam Keith.
And Matt Dye.
This is your number one resource for all things land.
If you're interested in conservation, habitat management, hunting strategy, and rural real estate, this is the podcast for you.
All right, guys and gals. Hunting season will be here before we even know it. Elk season is coming, but I know there's more of you that are excited about deer season that's coming up in just a few short months away. And with that being said, it is the time to be prepping your gear and getting ready for fall. And what better way than to up your clothing and go check out firstlight.com. As you guys know, listen to the podcast over time, Matt and I last fall jumped in and started wearing First Light from the heat of middle September all the way into the cold of late season, and we're comfortable all season long. And for a couple of guys who deal with freezing hands, Raynaud's disease, lack of blood flow to toes and hands, and just being miserable on a lot of past seasons by wearing a lot of low quality gear, we are now comfortable, warm, and it's because of First Light. So go check out firstlight.com.
Alrighty, welcome to Land and Legacy Podcast. Hot July. But hot. Hey, we got rain today.
We did, not at the farm.
Well, no. But
where it matters.
True. The only thing we get out of this is more grass to cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just refreshing to see.
It was nice. I mean, the breeze is here.
Yep.
I heard that we got another Sahara dust cloud, sand cloud coming over, I thought.
Really?
So I saw it shared on Facebook yesterday.
I don't need that sand.
I don't know if it's true or not, but you know what happened the last time it came over? We started getting rain because of the amount of dust particles and stuff in the air. And so we had like 3 or 4 days of rain following that big thing, so who knows.
Time will tell,
but you know, it's mid-July. Actually, it's past mid-July.
It is.
And past mid-July, it's supposed to be hot, it's supposed to be dry. Let's just try to enjoy it or get through it. You know, I laugh because our mother-in-law, being brother-in-laws, we share a mother-in-law, and she was thrilled because she didn't have to water her grass anymore. And I'm like, I ain't grass.
No
at
one's
all.
Making you. Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
And mowing and watering my grass means I just have to mow it. So
that's it.
It can just lay out there and die for all I care because it's not native.
But you know what mid-July means, or just past mid-July?
Food plot season
coming, and a lot of people are ready for it to come. And you know who is ready to talk about it?
Heath North.
Him and Mr. Keith Hammer, who is on the line with us on this
podcast.
What's
going on, fellas?
Oh, not much, man. We're just chilling in the backyard doing some podcasting, and
that's how humid it is right now. I'm sitting here with my sheet of paper, kind of notes. And it's like I'm holding the paper that comes in deli meat packages.
Damp napkin now. Yeah. It doesn't even crinkle.
No, it doesn't. It's just kind of...
It's leathery.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Gotta love it. Well, it is. It's definitely just a Missouri summer day, but it is middle of July. Soon enough, we're going to be planting fall food plots. I mean, really, within a month, it's going to be kind of prime time serious. But with all that comes the decisions of what is it you do plant? Because Lord knows there's options upon options upon options out there when it comes to fall plantings, what you can do, how you can do it, when you should do it. But we're going to kind of break that down with the help of Keith Hammer today with Stratton Seed. What are the offerings and what are your goals specifically? And which blend is going to be able to accomplish that goal for you? Because not every food plot's the same, you know, varying in size, varying in moisture, varying in soil. So we're going to kind of break that down as to maybe the best selections for this fall.
And we're going to cover things that we haven't covered before. We have done podcasts with Keith.
Yes.
Before about these blends and their purpose. And so we're not going to cover those. If you want to hear more about specific blends and why each species is in that blend, go check out previous podcasts.
Correct. So, Adam, what do you think is the most common...
Before we jump in, though, I just want to say...
What'd you say?
Food plot seed should be, if you're listening, when you're listening to this podcast, live on our site so you can order.
Yes. Yes, that's a good point. So that is shoplandandlegacy.com. Click on the food plot seed. It's going to be there, going to be available for purchase, for ordering. And Keith Hammer will be helping get that out the door to everyone who's listening and ordering at their Stratton warehouse, Stuttgart, Arkansas. So what do you think is the most common question you get about fall plantings for food plots in particular?
What's the best one?
just boil it down.
Hands down, the number one question I get in food plots, what should I plant? What's the best one? Well, that's one of the classic questions followed with the classic pain in the hind end answer. Well, it depends.
Yeah, exactly. You want me to narrow it down? Well, it is highly debatable. And the follow-up question is, well, describe to me your site or describe to me your general area. And that might be able to help narrow down some specifics. And then the other question is, what's the history of the site? I think that oftentimes people, you know, when planting fall food plots, yes, there is, you know, I'm not gonna say minimal site prep that you have to do, but when you're working with smaller seeds, maybe this site hasn't been put into a food plot before, but the previous history of that ground, and then what you're going to be doing after this planting, really help dictates what you should be planting.
Yep.
So I think one of the ones that we're finding out the most or is leading into what happens next. What is the next goal? So the future plantings after this, what are you wanting to accomplish? So right now there are two blends that Stratton's offering. The Legacy blend for the fall, as well as the Bounty Hunter. I guess there's another
multiple
one.
Blends, yes.
Cattleman's Treasure. Yep. Now, it's, you know, a little bit more specific, but can still be used for, you know, a food plot blend. But typically, Bounty Hunter and Legacy are two that people are really deciding between when they're looking for a diverse fall blend. But at the end of the day, they're different.
Oh, totally. For sure. You know, Bounty Hunter, and I'm just going to throw prices out too. Retail, suggested retail prices,
sure,
to give people an idea. They may vary. Keith, if I say anything incorrect here, jump in. The prices may vary a few dollars depending on the dealer.
Yep.
But they're not going to be substantial changing in the pricing. All right, so let's kick it off with one of the first blends. That's one of the most popular, Bounty Hunter. It's a six-way blend, and I'm going to say whether Keith wants to or not, I'll throw out the pricing because I think that's important.
Oh, sure it is. Sure.
Sometimes it's hard to find pricing on food plot seed without shipping, but this is before shipping. So if you go, and it may change a few dollars depending on the dealer, depending on the storefront, but Bounty Hunter is a six-way blend that consists of Austrian winter peas, crimson clover, purple top turnips, rapeseed, oats, and then wheat, which is an awnless wheat. So you can have the forage during the fall, the winter, and the spring, and then as it makes a seed head, they'll even eat the seed head. Deer and turkeys and other birds. And the retail price of Bounty Hunter is $25 a bag. Suggested planting rate broadcasting is 2 bags to 2.5 bags per acre.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's drilled, bag and a half, bag and three quarter, depends on what you're looking for. But it could be, and it's sold in 50-pound bag, correct there, Keith?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, yep. Bounty Hunter's 50.
So you got a 50-pound bag that's $25 retail.
Pretty good blend, too. Yeah.
Bounty Hunter is one of those that's pretty stinking awesome, especially for the price.
Mm-hmm.
And as we move into the next blend, we want to be clear of the difference because it's not just you guys hear how much we love the Legacy blend, but it may not be for you.
That's right.
And well, it may not be for you because of what you're planning on your planting date in the spring or what your overall big picture looking for. What's your goals with each blend?
Well, I think that when you look at the Bounty Hunter and you kind of break it down real quick, it checks a lot of the boxes. You know, you've got cereal grains, you've got some tubers, you got some annual clovers. So stuff that's going to be attractive when you plant it, you know, early September through October, even through the winter time frame, and then another kick as you get, you know, greening up and soil temperatures rising back in the spring. It's going to be good forage through that whole time frame. But because of it's weighted a little heavier in the cereal grains, come springtime, you're going to get a heavier thatch layer, mulch layer, prepared to be able to plant in comparison to some of the other blends we're going to talk about. So because of that, you know, maybe the Bounty Hunter is a blend for you if you're looking to increase your opportunities to suppress weeds by using that existing vegetation, your cover crop, for that because of its heavier density of seeds in the blend being of a cereal rye, oats, wheat.
There is no cereal rye.
I'm sorry. The oats and the wheat blend in there. So,
yes.
Like, you're going to have a better opportunity to do that. That blend is going to allow you to be able to utilize that for the purposes of weed suppression. And so, not that other blends aren't, but depending on the time of that termination, this one might be better for you.
Yeah, if your goal is to have soybeans in the ground late April, early May, in the Midwest, or even in the South, if your goal is soybeans planted early, this is probably the blend for you. Because the main annual clover in it is crimson clover, mm-hmm. which is going to come on really early in the spring and be pretty well making seed and running its life cycle. And now it depends on where you're at, but probably sometime in April or early May.
Yeah.
The winter peas, which aren't a huge, it's not like that this blend has a that's 50% peas,
no.
But they're kind of they're going to run their course and not be too thick come, you know, May planting time. And then you've got oats and wheat, which if they go to seed, who cares? But they're going to go to seed early, earlier than some of these other annual clovers, like we'll discuss in some of this other blends. But, you know, this the window of time, if you look at just a window of life from planting to full life cycle and has now made seed and being an annual is now pretty much ran its life cycle and it's that seed that it produced is the next generation. Bounty Hunter is the one that's a smaller window of time. It's a six-way blend. So you've got six species, and they're all pretty well mature and have gone to seed by sometime in April or early May. So if you're wanting soybeans in the ground early, this is the mix for you. The blend, I should say.
Correct, correct.
Keith, anything on Bounty Hunter? Anything you want
to add? Y'all hit it pretty well perfect there.
Yeah.
Like I said, the $25 can't hardly beat it. Like I said, it's going to be very dependent on location, whether shipping costs get involved and everything like that. But for $25, you just can't beat it.
And I want to say something before we start really going into all these other blends. You don't want to plant your cereal grains early in the planting season. Every year it seems like people jump the gun. It seemed like soybeans went in the ground in early to mid-April this year. And it was like, man, a lot of those beans are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. And if you plant your cereal grains too early in, let's say, early August or hotter, wet or dry, end of July, you see people planting turnips in late July. If you do that with cereal grains, what you're going to see is they're going to jump. They're going to, if they get the appropriate amount of rainfall, and they're going to end up making seed. They're going to have seed heads before winter even gets here, and they're done. It'd be no different than planting it in the spring, April, May, planting your wheat, hoping that it can make seed. So that's one of the problems with trying to take one of these blends and put it in the ground too early. If you want to plant in July, just plant strictly brassicas.
Correct, correct.
Right, and you brought up a really good point. And down here in the South, we have a lot of guys that just are eager to get out there and get in the field and get to planting and hurry up and see some green fields out there. But I tell them that you really want to hold off just because we know how Arkansas and August get along together, and normally it's about 3 or 4 weeks of dry weather, just to be honest with you, the whole month of August, and just don't want to see those food plots burn up, and we kind of suggest wait till which planting time down here is going to be way different, as y'all know, up north, but
45 to 60 days before first annual frost is suggested planting time,
and that goes across the entire country. I think it's important to respect your area and know your area, the region, the climate, the annual rainfalls, the general cycles of rain that you get to be able to plant effectively. You know, if you are, like you said, down in Stuttgart, Arkansas, your planting window is not going to be the same in North Missouri or Iowa or Wisconsin or Tennessee. It's going to vary. So, you know, when you see other people planting, that doesn't mean you're behind necessarily. It just means that they're further north of you. Their yeah. next frost date is going to be ahead of you.
Or they're a screw-up.
Potentially.
Yeah, because...
It's not follow the leader.
Or they're not listening.
Yeah.
They just eager, that's all. We've all been faulty of it.
And another big problem that you may face, you know, I think it was last year, parts of Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Missouri, probably some other places in the country, army worms.
Mm-hmm.
So people jumped the gun. They got, even if they didn't jump the gun, they just planted turnips in late July, and you had all that forage, and then all of a sudden army worms moved in, and you're like, oh man, I planted all that, and a month later it was looking great, and the army worms ate it up. So that is a risk you run when you plant early. But with any time you're planting planting any food plots or crops, it's always a gamble. Do you plant too early and hope that you get out of the gate quickly and you can continue to produce more forage? Or if you plant early, you risk, you know, if you plant in spring, a late frost. Or you plant too early in the summer, another month of dry summer drought. So it's always a gamble. And typically what we do is just base it off of 5 or 10 year pattern. Okay, you plant and for us it was always late August.
Yep.
Plant late August, we're going to start getting some rain, we'll get those hurricane rains. But the last 3 years the hurricane rains were the first week of August.
Mm-hmm.
And we're behind the eight ball. Last year we were
waiting for rain. We didn't get rain. We got like one rain in late September
and the first heavy frost October 12th.
Yep.
So our fall food plots didn't do great, and it wasn't anything with the seed. It was just timing. We got a very small window of time for forage to grow. Now, somehow it made it through it. In the spring, we had pretty good food plots. But during the fall, it was tough. And that's where Revival, one we'll talk about in a little bit later, that's where it can really shine.
For sure. For sure.
So,
right. Mother Nature can hurt or help you pretty quickly.
Yes, it can.
Yep. So, next up, the Legacy Blend.
Yeah.
Wonder where this one came from.
Yeah. We're probably going to spend some time on this one.
Legacy Blend, I it's so hard to even just...
try and break it down, piece it apart.
Yeah, it's
so
a 12-way blend.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, there's a reason why it's a 12-way blend is because we always are trying to promote diversity. And, man, there's just, it seems like there's even a few species that we've found over the last couple years testing more stuff. Because I feel like that's one thing we're never completely satisfied. We really like things, but it's like, you know, it could be a little bit better if we did this or we did that.
Or there's just different applications that you find yourself in, different stages of developing or different, because I think that oftentimes with food plotting, we always talk and preach they're supplemental. Mm-hmm. Well, not every farm or not every area has the same, let's say, missing link or the window that you need to supplement. So, you know, even though diverse food plots cover a wide spectrum, you still need to be looking to see if there's any other possibilities or additions that can be made. So, yeah, we're always searching, looking for potentially what's next.
Yeah. So the Legacy Blend consists of Austrian winter peas, Burseem clover, crimson clover, Balanza clover. Those three clovers I just mentioned are all annual clovers.
Yep.
And you may pronounce them differently in your part of the world. I was talking to a guy the other day, and it was Balanza clover.
Huh.
But here in the Ozarks, we tend to pronounce our A's a good bit. So it's Balanza in our part of the world. And then you've got radish, purple top turnips, a forage turnip or brassica. And then you have rapeseed. You have cereal rye, you have triticale.
I've heard of both, triticale or triticale.
Or triticale. Then you have oats, and then you have wheat.
Mm.
So you basically have four cereal grains.
Yep.
You have three brassicas.
Right.
With the purple top and the rapeseed and forage turnip. No, and then you have radish, so four brassicas. And then you have three annual clovers, and then you have the
winter pea.
So you've got four legumes, four grasses, and four broadleaves.
Yep.
What can you say about this one? I mean, if you try to wrap it up in one sentence or one word, I'd just say diverse.
I would say... great, period.
Yeah. And Keith, what do you think about the Legacy Blend?
I mean, it's a total package, really. And a lot of guys, whenever they look at it, they get overwhelmed and they think, man, I don't know, why is there 12 different seeds in this blend? Is it all going to grow? Is it going to overcompete with each other? But really, and like you said, y'all tested it for years, and this is our, I guess, third year running with it. And it's one of our favorites, obviously.
Yeah.
And it does really well. Like I said, you've got the best of three or four different worlds right there. Cause you've got, as you just mentioned, you got your cereal grains, your brassicas, your peas and your clovers. And I mean, I don't know what more you want. It's all right there in one bag.
It's one of those things that, you know, oats, if you just break down the cereal grains and you'll say, okay, well, because it has so many different species, it's one of those that can really help if you're planting in less than ideal situations. They can kind of lean on each other, each species, to help each other along. To where, same thing with the Heritage in the spring. If you're lacking maybe a micronutrient, or you're dry, or it's a really hard pan. You may have a root system that's more of a tap root that can really get down in through that hard pan, while the fibrous root system may be able to work alongside that tap root to where they can just work better together. We're replicating nature here. And if you break down oats, wheat, triticale, and cereal rye, you'll know that like October window when oats are really, really good, they're going to probably be really selected, highly selected by the deer. But then a little bit later in the winter when it gets a little colder, you're going to look more towards wheat. And then if it gets a little colder than that, you might look, they might be browsing cereal rye more. And then, of course, triticale kind of fits in between all those. But the thing I like about triticale, or triticale, however you want to pronounce it, later on next spring, cereal rye is one of those that so many people plant cereal rye for, for weed suppression. And, you know, it's great. There's a reason they all have, you know, it was adopted by the ag world years ago. And it's kind of came into the food plot world a lot later. But cereal rye is real stemmy. Like, when it gets up in the spring, it looks awesome.
It, it seems like an incredible bolt.
It grows overnight. And you're like, oh, my goodness. But it's a little bitty thin stem. And triticale is more, it's kind of like a, I guess it is a hybrid between wheat and cereal rye.
Definitely is.
It's, you know, waist high, hip high. It's taller than wheat, shorter than cereal rye in most plantings. But it's a lot more blade.
It's a broader leaf structure too. So it covers more ground with a shorter, with a shorter height than that cereal rye. And I mean, again, you go back to diversity. But if cereal rye is less preferred from a browsing standpoint, which this is again, it's a food plot. We don't want to rely heavily or have that a strong component of rye, because then we're going to lose some of that palatability or attraction compared to other species like wheat, oats, and triticale. So that triticale is a perfect hybrid for still having great coverage against the ground.
And the thing about legacy is if you're planning on planting soybeans in late April, early May, and you're planning on terminating that fall crop of legacy, bounty hunter, what XYZ blend that you bought, if you look at legacy and you're like, I'm terminating April 15th. Legacy is not for you, most likely.
It could be, but you're missing out.
You're
the
missing
benefit.
Out on the on huge benefits that the legacy would do later on.
Correct.
What we've been working on and testing with legacy blend is drilling soybeans into the legacy blend without any termination.
No spraying, no nothing. It's just, hey, it's planting time.
Let's drive the drill.
Yeah, and you plant it.
And what happens is, by that point, when we plant, a lot of our cereal grains have gone to seed, so most of those get laid over anyway.
And this is typically late May time frame.
Late, or mid-May, early May even. But what you do is you drill those soybeans, and anybody who's in areas of high deer density know that soybeans, young soybeans and small food plots get hammered. And especially right out of the ground.
Hammer time.
It's just like, why do I keep doing this to myself?
Yeah.
I plant soybeans. I spend a fortune on soybeans. Or I spend way too much money on soybeans. I'm trying to get everything ideal for it. And wham, they come in and they just hammer it.
They don't even offer the growing season forage. It's just as soon as they're out of the ground, bam. It doesn't matter what variety you plant. They cannot handle that if they're getting browsed.
The legacy blend, being annuals, they're all going to mature and run their life cycle sometime in spring or early summer. And those annual clovers really turn on. Of course, crimson clovers, that April window. I look at Balanza being May, and I look at Burseem being June.
Yep.
And those 3 months, the annual clovers are going nuts. And but then, of course, cereal rye or crimson clover, when it runs its course, it pretty well starts going away.
Yep.
Same thing with Balanza. Same thing with Burseem. And what you see is the protection for those young soybeans dwindling away, and then the soybeans popping out of it.
Correct.
And that's what we're really going for, is avoiding that first major spraying with legacy to try to, you know, keep our ground covered, but also protect our young soybeans.
Yeah, because you
and sometimes it doesn't work as well. Sometimes it's too, it's our legacy blend is incredibly thick, and it's like, ooh, we're gonna have to really hope those soybeans jump. But other times you time it perfectly, and it's incredible.
I think that the way, because of the components that are in the legacy blend and the maturation of those seeds. Obviously, they're all timed differently throughout the spring time frame, so they all mature differently too. And it's almost that like multi-stage self-termination of the plot that continues to free up space for you to be able to then go in and plant without terminating the entire plot at the you know one moment with an herbicide application. So you can feasibly go in and do that, just drill. But you also have ground protection, some weed suppression. You also have continued forage in that food plot while your next crop is taking hold, growing, germinating, and being protected so it can handle browse pressure later on. Yeah. I love the – it's complex, but you're not going to get the benefits without having a complex food plot, right, or a complex blend. If you have one species or a couple species on hand – you're just not going to be able to span that window, period, because you don't have the ability to have that staged maturing and peaking of other blends. But
suggested retail, $49 for a bag, and it's a 50-pound bag.
Correct.
So, you know, if you're drilling, you could do a bag and a half, or if you're broadcasting, two bags. So $100 per acre if you're broadcasting.
And I just... let's probably say this again before the end of the food plot. I mean, before the end of the podcast. If you're planting the legacy, remember, it is good and attractive and working still into June.
Yeah.
So if you're the person who wants to spray early, you're missing multiple months of benefit that you paid for.
Yeah.
Consider
so
that.
Go with the Bounty Hunter.
Correct.
Because, you know, if you're... blend is a lot of cereal rye, crimson clover, wheat, turnips, some of these that mature a lot earlier in the spring, then, and you're planning on soybeans, Ben, if you're hot or cold, late April type of person, then the legacy, you know, it's going to be great for you while it's growing, but you're going to be terminating it long before that really productive side of it is shown itself.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt.
The other thing too, if spring is much busier for you than fall, mm-hmm. and planting spring food plots has been an issue for you, then the legacy blend may be perfect.
Absolutely,
because you can plant it in the fall and get great benefit all the way into June, and then you have kind of a weedy component. You may have
ragweed,
poke weeds,
yep.
mare's tail. Which, whoa! I said mare's tail. It's a native. Deer browse it. Don't worry about it.
And it can be killed still out of food plots.
Unless you're one of those guys who've nursed it along and made it herbicide resistant over the years. And so you have the ability to have something planted in the fall and get really close to, you know, I think it teams up perfectly if you're one of those people that like to plant, if you're planning on planting turnips and you've created kind of a rotation in your food plot system where you're like, this food plot will get turnips next fall in late July. Well, plant Legacy this fall,
yep.
and it's going to be very productive all the way into June. And then you've got 1 month and you're getting ready to plant. A month and a half, you're going to get ready to plant turnips.
You know, we had a discussion the other day while driving of just going back to the benefits of having ample forage coming out of winter going into spring.
Yes.
And it, Keith, you like to shoot big bucks, right?
Oh, he's more of a forky horn hunter.
I kind of knew that, but, you know, he
not
might
that get, is bad.
Sure.
I like the one I guard.
So we can't stress enough the importance of having that ample food between coming out of winter and going all the way through spring. So some parts of me, it's like if I have a food plot that, again, is trying to be supplemental to what I'm trying to supply elsewhere on the property, I feel sometimes bad of cutting that food plot short and terminating it when there's still benefit out there. So that's why I really am just growing that much bigger of a fan of that legacy, because it spans that time. And this year, I mean, and I know this happened a lot across the country. There was that small window where people were trying to plant in April, and then we got a lot of rain, and the fields were muddy, mucky, and we were driving across through the Midwest in May and early June. A lot of fields weren't and couldn't be planted at that time. So it was like, well, shoot, you know, if I had a fall crop that was still really, really good, people weren't getting soybeans in, which I'm air quoting, think grow antlers. They weren't getting that till mid-June.
Yeah.
And so,
antlers have come a long ways.
A long ways.
Mid-June.
Absolutely, they have. That's why I love, love, love this blend.
Yes. Let's go with the next one, Emerge.
Oh, yeah.
Keith, Emerge are three big annual clovers. We've got Burseem clover, Balanza clover, Crimson clover, and what else is thrown in there?
And oats and triticale. It's basically like Legacy's sister.
Yeah. It's kind of like...
She sounds hideous.
taking some of our favorite portions of the Legacy blend and going more with a... This is kind of one of those... It can be used in many, many type of applications.
Oh, I think let's... Yeah,
you
hit
can
that
use it in... You can plant it in the fall and have a phenomenal annual clover blend where you're like... You know, I kind of want to just break it up. I don't want to I want something a little bit different. I don't want to have everything the same. I still want a highly preferred area, but maybe I don't want to do my normal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Emerge may be the one for you.
And I can't remember. It was a couple years ago. Adam, you and I were walking through one of those bottom fields there on y'all's farm.
Yeah.
And that field was just extremely luscious of had 2 foot tall plants, I feel like, of frosty Burseem and Balanza fixation clover in it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was it definitely has grown to be a really awesome blend. And it's one of those that can kind of be repair mode.
Mm-hmm.
And by repair mode, I mean you planted XYZ blend in the fall, you didn't get great results, and you could turn around and frost seed this, or even plant in early March after it started really frosting and still get great growth in the spring, which would then lead into middle of the summer, and there you have it, you're right back ready for fall food plots.
You know, a lot of people really do like to plant just a brassica blend during the fall.
Yeah.
Those annual species. But we've also all seen just straight brassica blends come February, March, and it's just fields of mud.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about that repair time frame, this is one certainly could be planted late August, September, provide that attraction through the fall. But don't dismiss it from the benefit of coming out of spring. We just talked about that spring window and how important it is. So if you're one of those people who, hey, I like to hunt over just brassicas, don't miss the opportunity to be planting Emerge and still be providing, you know, great forage, you know, and that additional attraction to your food plots during the spring window time frame. And when we're talking about fixation, there's a lot of nitrogen fixation that's happening with annual clovers. Now, everyone talks about legumes with white clover, but the amount of fixation of nitrogen that occurs just out of these annual plants is incredible. The root system, silly. And when we're talking clovers, I think everyone just commonly thinks about white clover and, you know, typically 8 inches tall or so, right?
Yep.
This stuff, you just released a video a couple of days ago on social media showing how branching, how big, 2-3 foot tall clover
plants.
Almost
like alfalfa growth. When people think of alfalfa, you think of probably like knee high, more of a stem that's got tons of leaves on it. It's kind of like that structure, but even taller. Now, Balanza can be very branching, very viney, and just make a huge mass out on the ground that come midsummer is like, where'd it go?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a whole bunch of seed left.
Yep.
So Emerge is pretty stinking awesome, and I think if you're one of those guys that plant just straight turnips, it's one of those repair modes where if you plant straight turnips, high deer numbers, rough winter, it's going to be a mud patch.
Mm-hmm.
Fix that, frost seed, Emerge into it, and be ready to rock. Come, you know, more forage available long before soybeans are germinated, and provide forage well into the summer.
Well into the summer.
Right, and one thing about this blend, and we'll get to the Revival here in a minute, but one thing about this one is it's packaged in a quarter acre jug, and I know with a lot of people, including myself, I have some plots that aren't over, I mean, they're a quarter acre or smaller, some mm-hmm. of them, and so it's a lot easier to go this route and a lot more beneficial too in the long run. So
shipping is easier.
What's
too.
The retail it, on the quarter acre?
And it's $20.
$20
retail on Emerge. Yep.
So
perfect.
So it's very easy on the wallet as well.
Like that.
Yep. So next up, Revival.
I feel like there needs to be like a drum roll for Revival, as popular as that blend has become.
It was a hot topic.
My goodness, man.
Yeah.
Frost seeding this year was incredible.
Yeah.
And I did some myself and had great luck with it.
Yeah, it's one of those that we sold. I know we sold a good portion of it on the store, shoplandandlegacy.com. You like that little shameless plug. And we sold a good portion of it last August and September.
Yep.
But it was like we talked about how awesome it was in January, February, and it started selling. And you guys were like, what's going on? We're selling this
what
stuff
happened,
like crazy.
Guys?
And we're like, we've been talking about it a lot. And I looked on the store just this week, and we had an order come through.
Yeah.
So, like, I would be shocked if I went back that there wasn't a Revival jug being sold from January till this week, once a week. Because
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah. It's just constantly.
I was just sitting there thinking, I don't think there's been a week gone by that there hadn't been one. Absolutely.
And yeah. I feel like the more that it's out there, the more that it's just raved on. And again, we talk about hitting windows and spanning the time frame. If you will, I feel like from a caliber standpoint of a fall annual planting, it is even keel with Legacy in a perennial category. From a this is the perennial type clover blend that is just going to span a large, large window throughout many portions of the country and just be pretty dynamic.
The only negative time frame for Revival would be sometime in August after it's been planted and it's ran a whole year and it gets really, really hot. It might go dormant for a small portion, but the chicory will go nuts.
That or you can be planting your wheat
yep.
as a cover crop in that, and that's taking off of that time frame too.
And then the other time frame would be when snow's setting on top of
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take a 5-year period of time, and especially if you're northern Missouri, southern Illinois, southern Indiana, I'm trying to draw a line kind of straight across the United States, northern Kentucky, southern Ohio, Virginia, and south. 3 out of 5 years, I would say Revival will, month from January to December, will probably provide and be more beneficial than annual mixes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I love annual mixes, but 3 out of 5 years, like last year for us, what was the number one food source? Revival mm-hmm. food plots, because mm-hmm. they were established. So even though we were in a drought, they were still going because they're a perennial. They had a root system. They were starting to come on. But if you're up in north, yeah, annual mixes are great. I would still like to see a mix of like the Revival in your food plot program.
Besides,
unless you're surrounded by alfalfa fields,
right? If
and you said earlier, go ahead, Matt. Sorry,
I was going to say. The only dead time frame, if you're north of that line you drew across, it's really snow.
Yeah.
Besides then, it's going to be growing. There's not a window in the summer that I'm like, ooh, it's really kind of mature. It's burning up. You're likely not going to occur based on your growing season. But you have longer winters. So
each to their own. But go ahead, Keith.
I was just going to say, we were kind of talking about it earlier with time frames and people being busy in the spring and not having any day of the week to go do this. So as we had mentioned, it's perennial, so it's a whole lot less maintenance and not as time consuming if you're short on time too. So
humongous value there.
And so Revival has perennial red clover, perennial white clover, perennial alfalfa, and perennial chicory. Those four.
Right. And Matt, went that the picture you shared with me the other day, that was taken here recently, correct?
Yes, it was. Yep. Just here in the last couple of weeks up in Nebraska.
And it was booming.
It was looking great.
Yeah.
But you know, when it comes to establishment, I think everyone's wanting when they say, okay, I'm committing some of my food plot to perennials because of maybe it's the time or lack of time that they have. They know that it's going to span a long time. It's like that reliable friend, like it's always there. But like, I feel like when we're talking establishment, there are some finer points and techniques that you can do to be able to ensure that the planting's going to take off. You know, it's going to have less weeds in the food plot because of X, X, and X. So, like, walk us through prime time ideal preparations for planting the Revival, designating either portions of food plots or a singular whole food plot to Revival blend.
I like Revival being established following a like soybean field or a soybean food plot where you've had a little bit of herbicide usage or, you know, you've sprayed a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably, I just lay it out. Like, let's just say you go in and you take over a field that's been a lot of weeds, and I say that very roughly. It could be a whole bunch of – it just say you take a portion of the pasture, and you're like, I want to be a Revival. Well, for long-term success, I would rather have a whole growing season of soybeans and spraying those weeds out and getting control, making sure the fescue or Bermuda or Johnson grass is at least under control before I go into Revival. Mm-hmm. So establishment for me would be following up a
series of herbicide uses
to where – the weeds are under control, and then you go in and you broadcast that on the ground before rain.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, I think, more times than not, when people drill in a blend like the Revival or drill in clover, they drill it too deep.
Yep.
And so that's what I would prefer to do. Broadcast it in an ideal world. The ground is already moist. You've already had rain, and you've got more rain coming, and you broadcast it on it. And so the Revival is pretty easy to establish.
Yeah.
Because once you do it and you're planting it, it's sold $20 per jug, and it's a jug per quarter acre. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Yep. 4.25 pounds per jug, $20. That's right.
Yeah. And so
I was going to say, everyone who has planted annual species in the past, they're always like, okay, well, this area always gets pounded by deer pressure, right? I think that people often try and go like, okay, that's my clover food plot there. That's this over there. Why not look at your food plots and be 100% comfortable saying, well, this portion is perennial. This portion is annual. If you have areas that are kind of shaded, don't get enough as much sunlight, or that get browsed really, really heavily, or you just want a perennial in every food plot because, let's say, again, time is a constraint for you, devote that to the Revival blend. It's going to span a long time, and you could easily do that, broadcast it right into standing beans going into fall. You've had several applications of herbicide there, so you're pretty much working in an ideal situation. But how many fields there at the Prairie Hollow property were basically split and now half perennial Revival, and then half annual.
Or a portion. Yeah. It may not be perfectly half.
Sure.
But,
three of the main?
Yeah, three of the main, and then a couple more converted over completely to four. Yeah.
A substantial amount.
If you got any kind of food plot that's over 2 acres or right at 2 acres, I would like to see a portion of that plot, maybe an eighth of an acre, converted to perennial absolutely. Clovers like it, this Revival blend.
You think about
and
that?
And the reason for the chicory, too, I guess we should say this.
Sure.
We mentioned it in Legacy Blend, is chicory's in there because it's highly – I mean, there's a window of time where they browse it like crazy, but it's also a broadleaf, that's so it's helping take up some of that nitrogen those three legumes are fixating throughout the year. So it's kind of help
balance
with our diversity.
And,
man, it shows sometimes when that chicory gets going, it can jump.
But another reason for devoting some portions of food plots to a Revival blend is that same window. We're talking about, okay, relieving some browse pressure off of your annuals that are being planted. Well, you've got something that's extremely green, palatable there. The deer are going to be hammering that and you know, planting directly into standing legacy that hasn't been terminated. You got best of all the worlds right there in the spring time frame, helping along your annuals throughout that food plot.
I think if you were to pin me in a corner and tell me, pick your favorite, like your go-to, for our region, Revival would probably be my favorite.
I'd do it in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Just for low maintenance.
Ease of establishing.
Ease of establishment.
Reliability.
Almost year-round usage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only time that I'll be going, ugh, I wish I had something else would be during really cold spell late winter.
Sure.
And then I may go, oh, man, I wish I had some standing grain. But any other time of the year, I'm going to be like, man, it's awesome.
Well, we got dinky winters down here anyhow. Most
yeah,
times.
Most times. Last winter was a little weird. But anyway, let's go to our last blend. Wrap this up. We got yep. Cattleman's Treasure.
I think that the name kind of can throw it off some when it comes to, is that applicable to me? Is that applicable to, you know, a food plot? I say 100%. Absolutely it is.
Oh, for sure. And it is great for, you know, it was kind of designed to be one of those
bridge plantings,
yeah,
let's say.
For guys that have kind of multi-use properties. But at the same time, it's still an awesome blend.
Yeah.
If you're just devoting it to deer. Cattleman's Treasure consists of Balanza, clover,
mm-hmm.
winter wheat, crimson clover, oats, and cereal rye.
Yep.
And it is sold in a 50-pound bag, and it's retail price about $38.
Yeah.
So you could be in the same thing. Bag and a half if it's drilled, or two bags if it's broadcasted. So you're looking anywhere around, what is that, 76 bucks for a full acre. If you're broadcasting and you've got a lot of cereal grains, but then one of our favorite annual mm-hmm. clovers in that. And so if you're a multi-use property, it's a great option. Or if you're looking for more of a cereal grain heavy blend, this is the option. If you're looking for something that's going to create a lot of thatch that you can suppress some weeds the next growing season, Cattleman's Treasure is probably your thing, because you're going to be really looking at a lot of stuff growing, a lot of cereal grains growing. So
and honestly, if baled appropriately, if you're a multi-use farm or you're trying to convince farmers to be able to interseed pastures during late summer, you can go ahead and bale this stuff early, green wrap it, and it makes incredible forage mixed with the cool season pastures that it's being planted in, most likely. So there's a lot of different ways to be able to use it, but all around, it is a fantastic blend.
For sure. Hopefully, you know, we listed out 5 different blends there. We've got the Bounty Hunter, Legacy, Emerge, Revival, and Cattleman's Treasure. So I'll give you guys Bounty Hunter being a 6-way blend, $25 for a bag. Bag and a half if it's drilled, 2 bags if it's broadcasted, so $50. $50 and you're off to the races. Legacy is a 12-way blend, $49 a bag. Same thing, bag and a half if it's drilled, 2 bags if it's broadcasted. Emerge, mix of a lot of annual clovers, is $20 for a quarter-pound jug. Revival, $20. It's a perennial mix, $20 for a quarter pound jug as well. Cattleman's Treasure, $38 a bag, bag and a half per acre if it's drilled, 2 bags per acre if it's broadcasted. And all of these are available now on shoplandandlegacy.com. Order away. And
floodgates are open.
Yikes. I'm very fearful because my wife is kind of handles a lot of our – anybody who's ever ordered on our site has probably dealt with my wife.
Yeah.
And thankfully, she's a lot nicer than we are when it comes to customer service because we're so busy. But she's now – Keith, I don't even know if you know this, but she fell and tore her hamstring this week. So she's kind of laid up. But orders will be processed as soon as they come in or as soon as we can get to them, and hopefully we'll have your seed to you very, very soon.
Absolutely.
And
and as always, you know, we've talked about in the past, and we've done it every year so far, but we're always experimenting with other options and look forward to, as much as we're excited to get in the field this year, and I don't want to wish the year away, but we're excited to see what 2021 has to offer and what new products we'll have out on the market next year too as well. And then just be patient with us on shipping. As everybody knows, what's going on with the world, COVID-19's got some stuff in little strange situations, but we'll get stuff shipped out as quick as we can and help you out best way we can. So
awesome.
Definitely.
All right,
anyway.
Guys. Well, Keith, thanks for coming on. What's the Stratton website?
Fellas.
Go Stratton Seed?
GoStrattonSeed.com. Click on the Go Wild tab, and we'll have all the different products we have to offer on there, and you can read about them, and we'll be uploading some pictures here pretty soon. That way, when you click on the individual blend or whatever it may be, you look at some pictures from success stories and everything else that we've got to offer. So
cool.
Anyway,
sounds good. Well, guys, there you have it. That's the blends. Go check them out.
Yeah.